Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. You become a fan of the show on Facebook, 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. Always have some good audio there from Scott. And if you just want to post a comment or something, tell me I'm a moron, by all means, go for it. You can also, final shameless plug, follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. We're talking about MSU Illinois. We'll get to Miguel Cabrera at around 8:30. Dan Dickerson from the Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play will be with us at 9. Kirkland Crawford from the Detroit Free Press will be with us at 10. And then Spartan Tailgate's own Dan Kilbridge will be with us at 10:30 as we kind of re-rack Michigan State, Illinois, and just Big Ten basketball in general. But we're talking about Michigan State, Illinois tonight. And I was just saying before the break that, you look at this game at first and you say to yourself, it's not the biggest game. If they lose this game, it's not the end of the world, okay? Because they've still got Minnesota to go. If they sweep Minnesota, that's a bubble team that you're in competition with. Because at this point, Scott, I would say the Big Ten's probably only getting 5 teams in. I can't see with the way the schedule sets up and with the way these teams are going to beat up on each other down the stretch, I can't see 6 Big Ten teams getting in unless somebody makes a run in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, that's the ultimate wild card if somebody does do that. But yeah, if you just look at it right now, there's not anybody that really deserves it. You have, for pretty much all of the mocks that I've seen, you have 3 teams that are locks to get in. Obviously, Ohio State, Purdue,
and Wisconsin.
And that's it.
And if Illinois wins tonight, I put them as a lock. I think if Illinois wins tonight, they have enough quality wins on their schedule, plus they would have swept Michigan State and beaten Minnesota, 2 teams that they're in competition with. I think that puts them in.
Well, and for how the landscape of college basketball is this year especially, you don't have to be overly qualified of needing, oh, well, they've got 22 wins, they should be a lock. It's coming down to, well, that's their 18th win, they're a lock.
Let me ask you something. As we're talking about kind of getting in and things of that nature, we're talking about how important this is tonight, this game. As Michigan State's effort has changed, for example, because I want to talk about this Ohio State game a little bit, how does effort play into the tournament committee's decision whether they take Michigan State or not? For example, if they look at that Ohio State game and they say, well, they played them tough at Ohio State, they were missing, for all intents and purposes, they were missing Darrell Summers. They were missing Delvon Rowe for the most part. They were playing with Thornton and Keebler. Keebler had big minutes in that game, okay? When you take that into consideration, is that a good loss that the tournament committee will look at?
I've said it for a long, long time. Quality losses don't get you into the tournament. The only thing that does is it boosts your strength of schedule. But it doesn't matter if you're still losing them. And I'm not on the committee. I don't even know who is. But I think they just look at it as a loss. It's not, oh, well, they showed up, they played well. They still lost by 10.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was fantastic. And that's where, like, I came in listening to other things this week and reading things. You know what that turned into? That wasn't just a loss of, oh, we should have won that game, where it would have been early in the season. It turned into, here's the good things we can take away from it. That was a moral victory. Losing by 10 is now a moral victory for the team.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, you and I have been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. I still personally, I think Michigan State is not getting into the tournament. I still believe that. Okay, I still think something's going to happen down the stretch. I'm not sure they win tonight. I'm not sure they beat Minnesota. I still don't think they're getting in. But you're right. The fact that our attitude has changed from Final Four to getting into the tournament to, well, they looked good at times.
It turns into, well, that shows some promise for the future,
yeah,
for next year. This season's not over, but most everybody looking to Ohio State, and I'm guilty of it too. I looked at it and I said, wow, look at what Derek Nix was able to do. Garrick Sherman played well. Adrian Payne had a really good game. That's not helping out for the future as in the next 5 games. That's I'm looking towards next season.
Somebody needs to find ways to tell Adrian Payne that a guy he's about to play against in a game is somebody that didn't respect him in high school. Because whatever happened between him and Sullinger as far as high school recruiting goes and things like that, he was motivated in that game. He looked like an entirely different player.
Well, not just that. He looked like he knew what he was doing.
Yes.
For the first time.
Well, and that I think came from him. He wasn't thinking, I don't think. I think he was just playing. With some players, I think that's what you need to do. He just went on the court and he said, I'm going to show up Sullinger. And in my opinion, I think he did show up Sullinger. I thought Sullinger had a weak game. I thought Sullinger showed that he needs to stay in college basketball, because all you have to do is get physical with him, and he starts flopping, he starts whining, and you can get into his head. And that's what Michigan State did with their big men. That's what Payne did. They got physical. A lot of the fouls that were called on Michigan State in that game, for example, I can think of one in particular, where Sullinger tried to post up Payne. Payne bodied him up. Sullinger fell over, and they called a foul on Payne. Payne was in his space. You know, what's he supposed to do? Back off so Sullinger... Well, yes, that is what he's supposed to do for a home crowd referee. But there were calls like that throughout the game that Sullinger showed me he is not ready for the NBA. Okay?
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, if you just look at him, yes, he's a very dominant player. But the thing is, centers and big men, they are able to dominate the college game because there's just not that many. That's why you see all these guys go pro so soon. There's such a need. And look at how long it takes them to develop once they do get to the pros. And when you look at Sullinger, he's what, listed at 6'9"?
Yeah.
I think he's listed at 6'9", about 275, I would say. So he's maybe 6'9". Probably a little bit under that.
Hey, he has the body to be a big man. There's no doubt about that.
But it's just so tough to be able to... use, because he plays as a big man. It's not like he can step outside, where it'll just be so tough for him. He's got great post moves, but how often do you see anybody use post moves? Tim Duncan even has extended to the mid-range. I mean, Dwight Howard, the most dominant big man, his post move is jumping over people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, the most concerning thing moving back to Michigan State that I saw, and obviously everybody saw, was Darrell Summers. And it wasn't that he had a bad game. It's that I think Darrell Summers has completely lost it. I don't think it's had a bad shooting night or had a couple of fouls early on and then it just messed up his rhythm and everything. He wasn't even looking to shoot in the game.
He looked to shoot less than Mike Keebler did.
And whether that was Izzo saying you got to stop taking so many threes, or whether he has just completely lost confidence, I don't know. But it is very concerning for Michigan State down the stretch.
In all the press conferences I've been to, I don't think I've ever heard Tom Izzo say that Darrell Summers needs to shoot less. Even when he's struggling, he knows that he is one of the best shooters.
He's got to shoot out of a slump.
You always have to
shoot out of a slump. And I think it has gotten to the point with Summers where he just does not believe he can make shots. He just flat out, he is a Chris Hill right now. And he just does not think he can make shots. And when you get to that point and you're supposed to be the focal point of the offense outside of Kalen Lucas, that's a huge problem, because now you're passing up shots and passing it to a guy like Austin Thornton, who is not going to take those shots. And so now you've limited your offense even more than it was before.
It's sad to see, because looking back, and we talked about this a little while ago, you can look back. We're trying to figure out what happened. What exactly happened? If it's he's just sad because he knows he lost his shot at the pros, because let's face it, he's not going anywhere right now. And last year, his stock was so high following that NCAA tournament, being named the region MVP. And that was how I said he should have gone pro then. You got to capitalize on you when you're up that high.
Yep.
And now he comes in taking one shot. Normally we come in and we ride him pretty hard because he's settling for threes.
He's the key player.
Right. And he hasn't been playing well. But when you just are a warm body out there, we've talked, you can't afford to do that with the guys. And Izzo's even hinted towards that. With some of the lineups he has to put out there, there's not going to be much offense as part of that. You have to expect Darrell Summers to be an offensive threat, not the guy who sits in the corner and then makes another pass.
You know, I thought Darrell Summers was in the right by not going pro. I saw a lot of Marcus Taylor and Darrell Summers last year got hot late, like Marcus Taylor did when he went pro, scored 30 points in his last couple of games, and then went, boom, I'm gone. And I thought the same kind of fate could have happened for Darrell Summers.
Oh, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just saying he had to capitalize on his opportunity.
Oh, and I'm not disagreeing with your point. I'm just saying, from my point of view, I thought he made the right move to come back to school. I thought he needed to show he could do it over an entire season. And it's really a bummer that Darrell Summers to this point has not gotten out of that slump. And maybe he will. Maybe tonight he feels that energy that I was talking about, that energy that I want the crowd to give the team tonight. Maybe Darrell Summers feels that energy tonight. He hits a couple of threes. I think Darrell Summers has been going around it all wrong. Okay, this entire year, he's been shooting threes to gain confidence. When you're a shooter in a slump, you gain confidence by making layups, by making short jumpers, mid-range jumpers, things like that. It's kind of like when you're just shooting around, okay? You start with short shots, and then you move backwards, and then you start shooting threes. Okay, when you start with three-pointers and you miss two or three in a row, all of a sudden, all your confidence is shot, rather than if you just make a couple layups and then just move backwards. Who knows? We'll touch back with Michigan State, Illinois as we go later into the show. We'll also have Dan Kilbridge on from Spartan Tailgate at 10:30. But coming up next, I want to talk a little Miguel Cabrera. I know we weren't supposed to talk Tigers, but you know what? It's a pretty busy week for the Tigers. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.